Webcasting to the world the good news of God's righteousness for all humanity. This is the Gospel Revolution Radio Network. Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It's hump day, Wednesday, June 4th, 2008. The only June 4th, 2008 in the history of humanity. And we're hoping that it is a historic night for you, for us, and for the planet as we welcome you into the only third night of the Spring Pledge Drive 2008 for the Gospel Revolution ever. We need your help tonight, folks. We do not know how to put it any more plainly than that. We need your help. We endeavor each quarter to raise the operating budget for Mike Williams Ministries and the Gospel Revolution. And our goal this quarter for the Spring Pledge Drive is $15,000. After 2 weeks of this effort, we're at $2,375. Obviously, we've got some ground to cover. So whether you're listening live or on the archive, please log on to the GospelRevolution.com webpage, click on donations, and make your best donation. There's a lot of options for monthly giving there. You are automatically received, your donations are. Now we'll talk about that a little bit more in depth, but we've tweaked that technology so that you do not have to worry about it every month. And you go there, or you make a one-time donation. There's no gift too large or too small. And for gifts totaling $100 or more, you're going to receive free and postage paid the new teaching CD by Mike called Avoid Strange Gospels, and which is always good advice. And now without any further ado, we'd like to welcome the president of the Gospel Revolution, Mr. Michael Williams. Michael!
Here we are again.
Take two.
At least.
Well, you know, there's nothing perfect, ladies and gentlemen, except the blood of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
And so when you keep that into perspective, all these little hiccups and other problems, if you're listening on the archive, you won't notice any difference. Those that are listening live right now, you know that we've been having some challenges this evening. As I'm coming to you from the northern outpost of the Gospel Revolution in northern Wisconsin, Michael at the home office in Houston, Texas. But we really strongly encourage you, whether you're listening live or on the archive, to participate tonight. All you got to do is dial 1-800-436-3260. If you're listening and it's between 9 and 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, we're coming to you live in the United States. We would love to hear your heart. We would love to hear your voice. And tonight, we'd love to hear your donation. Sean O'Halloran is waiting in the Tampa Bay studios of Glenn Klein Online at 1-800-436-3260. If you're listening on the archive, just go to donations and make your donations, and then email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com and let us know what you did so we can include it in the goal of $15,000 over the next 3 months. And Mikey, you know, so many people think sometimes that their gift of $5 or $10 and a one-time gift is just not significant enough to make the effort. But the fact of the matter is that everybody who has been affected by the gospel that we teach and that we believe and that we share would give $5. This pledge drive could be history in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely, because it has been, you know, by the thousands that, you know, we've had a great impact. I mean, not just a, you know, wow, that was a great information moment, but, I mean, people have had entire life epiphanies to the understanding of the gospel. And, if everybody stepped up and everybody did something, it really would be. There really would never, ever, ever be a financial squeeze of any kind, that's for sure. We so appreciate those of you that do participate. It has made a world of difference. And so we appreciate those of you who have. We may have some folks who are wanting to increase their pledge from what they've been doing over the last few months or the last year. And if that's the case, we certainly would welcome that also. And all of the first-timers, whether it's a one-time or, it's the one-time gifts are very helpful, especially for the pledge drive. But any amount that is on a monthly basis that you sign up, and like I say, we've got the technology now where they can do it right online, and you don't have to worry about it again. It's done automatically. And you see it come out on your statement that you made your contribution, and you don't even have to try to remember to do it. So it's a good.
Well, I think it would be good for us to rehearse the fact that people who have been making monthly contributions since we've started the pledge drive have not had their donations received every month because, frankly, we did not have the technology in place. And, Mikey, why don't you explain the dynamic of what has occurred and what is in place now?
You mean as far as what's going on in the ministry right now? I'd lost you just for a minute there.
No, well, just the fact that, you know, we've been doing these pledge drives for a while now.
Yeah.
And we've taken a lot of monthly pledges, and we've been very grateful for that. But, frankly, we did not have the technology to receive people's
yes.
monthly pledges automatically every month.
Right.
And people are busy, and they forget. And, you know, we've been raising money, but that money that has been pledged or that has been promised, if you will, has not come in, frankly.
Right.
Because we
yes,
did not
we
have
had,
the... We did not have the means to automatically receive it every month, but now we do.
Yes, we do. And that, you know, and, of course, everyone nowadays, that's the thing, is that if you do sign up for anything monthly, whether it's your gym membership or what, you know, it's or your tanning, it is they help facilitate that by setting it up on that type of a automatic pay program, and that really takes all of the worry out of it. And I know we definitely have had people who have not followed through with their pledge, but I know that for the most part, it's people who got started and you just get busy with life and forget to do it. But now, with the technology that we have installed, that Tim's worked really hard on to get that up and running, now they don't have to stop and be concerned about, is it, you know, the first of the month that did I do my pledge, because all of that's taken care of for you automatically. But
and
you got
to
go
that,
in and you got to click on. So
yeah, the way to do that is simply to click on gospelrevolution.com, go to donations. And there are many different options. You can do $10 a month. You can do $25 a month, $50 a month, all the way up to $1 million a month if you want, or just a one-time gift. And so many times, as I said, Mikey, people think that their gifts are so small, but in this effort, I mean, you know, this thing has been a process. And in this effort, when people have been taught or they want to give, and see, that this is the difference between most efforts that you hear like this, folks, and this one, is that we honestly are saying to you, we do not believe that God's going to bless you because you give, or that something from heaven is going to come to you because you give. We're asking you to give because you want to give, period.
Yes.
But if it isn't your want to, if you want to do this, and your financial situation isn't such that you could donate $10 a month or $150 at one time. We have people that are giving thousands of dollars during the course of a year. Most people can't do that. We understand that. But, Michael, the people that have given $5 here and $10 there have been the bedrock of this effort.
Yes, they most certainly have. And reaching back for the last many years, even before we started the webcast, it was those folks who have been, as you say, the bedrock of continuing the effort. And you know, even when it, you know, was at the point where that it was the difference between you know, not just paying the bills or not, but, you know, just being able to eat out on the road. I mean, literally, having the funds to stop and go through a drive-through to get a bite to eat on the way to a speaking engagement or something. It, you know, of course, those things make a huge difference. I know a lot of people just can't put their mind around how far down we rode the demise of, as what Carlton called, the cult of Christianity, and the cult that was formed around the work of Jesus rather than preaching the finished work of the cross, literally. And I really agree with Carlton. There was a cult that that formed around him, and I was very much a part of that cult and did not realize it. But you know what? We acknowledged that we were there. And we began to, begin to withdraw myself from that. And, man, I tell you what, they not only stopped giving, they, even in the words of Norval Hayes, said he would destroy me. And he intended to destroy me financially and in every way that he possibly could. I mean, he said that to, more than just a handful of people. So we went to the bottom. I remember responding to Norval, and I wrote him a letter, and I told him to go ahead, you know. I said, give it your best shot, because, you know, I believe this is the gospel, and I do not believe that you or anybody else can stop what I'm doing. And, the thing that I have to realize, Glenn, is that people really cannot possibly know to what degree that I rode this all the way to the bottom into the dirt. And while I was sharing the gospel, groveling in the dirt, while I was, you know, getting up and dusting myself off and going to the occasional living room or a place where I had 2 or 3 or 10 people gathered together to sit and listen and do a recording and try to get that out. But there's no way people can know to the point went to.
Right. Well, one thing you referenced just a few moments ago was Carlton Pearson. And we had Carlton on the webcast last week, folks. And if you did not hear last week's webcast, please go on the archive and listen to May 28th edition of Glenn Klein Online, because there was some very, very powerful stuff that Carlton shared, and it was just a really pleasurable and informational and inspirational time with him. But one thing he said, Mikey, was that as he heard your teachings, and we know that Carlton was significantly impacted, and maybe even one could say introduced to the gospel through your teachings, he didn't realize that you were sharing in those living rooms with 2 or 3 or 10 people, one of which was my living room. And there were about, I don't know, 4 people, 5 people in there when you did the teaching on the redemption of the world, which we now know has been recorded and gone all over the world, been translated into Chinese, and has literally impacted, you know, potentially hundreds of thousands of people.
Yeah,
and one of the things that he said was that he thought that you were speaking before a large assemblage of people, because the intensity and the quality of the teaching is not affected, not only has not been affected, but is not affected whether you're talking to 10 people or 1,000 or 10,000 people.
No, it really hasn't been. I remember back in my days in the Word of Faith movement, and all we had to do is have a slight drop in the crowd, and my ability to teach was affected profoundly because the measure of my success of ministry was certainly the number of people who showed up. But, you know, when I went through the transition of embracing the gospel and walking away from evangelical Christianity, that all changed for me, and the quality and the interest in what I was doing had nothing to do with the number of people that showed up. If I had the opportunity to share it at all, like Carlton said, I mean, and it's interesting that he picked up on that. Whether people do or not, I didn't know. But I did know that those days of feeling discouraged because, there was 500 last night and there's only 400 tonight, and it's like, what did I do wrong? Could I have done it better? But none of that feeling of performance, it totally left when I started teaching the gospel. It really was.
Why do you think that is, Michael? And I have noticed that because I too am not only a public speaker, but I'm a listener of public speakers, and you do have a sense of the crowd or the congregation that is listening.
Oh, yeah.
And as I've listened to your teaching, I never can tell how many people that you're speaking before. Why do you think that there is such a significant difference of the intensity when you were in the Word of Faith or the church movement, if you will, and now? Where did that come from?
Well, I think the number one thing is that it's not about me anymore, I believe this to be the gospel. So there is not a measurement of me going on. And I know the measure of the gospel. The measure of the gospel is always full. It is always complete. It is always profound. And never, ever is it ever a measurement of me. I'm not performing anymore. I'm virtually, so to speak, not on stage anymore. It truly is the gospel, and there is nothing about the gospel that is lacking. So as I share it, as we were saying, it doesn't make any difference whether it's 2 or 3 people or 10,000 people, which I haven't spoken to 10,000 in a long time.
Well, you have. You just didn't know it.
Yes, absolutely.
Every week we speak to that many people. We just happen to be on a telephone line.
Absolutely. But I think that really is the main reason. It's just it's amazing to have the privilege of sharing something with such confidence that you also know has nothing to do with you. It has to do with Jesus. This is not my opinion of God. I was up telling people my opinion about God for all of those years. And I don't have an opinion, and the opinions I have are worthless.
They're irrelevant, aren't they?
They are totally irrelevant in comparison to the true revelation of the gospel, which has nothing to do with my view and opinion of God. The gospel has to do with God's view and opinion of me and of everybody else on this planet. And that is truly the mark and the separation between that which is the gospel and that which is religion. Religion always has an opinion about God, but the gospel is a revelation of God's opinion of us. And what a powerful opinion, and what an enlightening and freeing opinion it is.
This is Glenn Klein Online. We are in night number 3. The Gospel Revolution Spring Pledge Drive for 2008. We're encouraging you folks to participate with your money tonight. I mean, we're just straight up asking you for your donations. We're not pussyfooting around. We need your help financially tonight. And all you have to do is go to gospelrevolution.com. Click on donations once you get there. And then there's all kinds of options, including monthly donations, $10 and up, one-time donations. A $5 one-time donation is huge to us. We are attempting to raise $15,000 over these 3 weeks. We're in our third week now, so if you're listening on the archive, we're in the midst of our third week. And don't think that your contribution and your touching us in that way doesn't count if you happen to be listening on the archive. We know most of our folks do listen on the archive because it's just more convenient. We're coming to you live between 9 and 10:30. Eastern Time. If you're listening live, we'd love to hear from you live tonight at 1-800-436-3260. The number is 1-800-436-3260. Or email us, especially if you're listening on the archive, and let us know what you did in a donation at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. That address is webcast@gospelrevolution.com, so that we can include you in our goal. And Mikey, when we started out with this effort and we started raising money, you know, people thought, why are you asking for so little? And we were asking for a little bit. And even if you multiply 15 times 4, that's all of, what is that? That's $60,000 annually. And you think, how can you have an organization for 60 grand a year? Well, folks, we do. And we're subsidizing it. We're trying to increase it. We're trying to get to the point where we can effectively touch as many lives as possible, but we can't do it without your help. And the total is based on an amount that we think is reasonable with where we're at to reach, and frankly, that gets us to a point where, well, at least, you know, we can keep swimming. Sometimes with our heads above water, sometimes not. Sometimes we have to hold our breath. And we're in that place right now. One of the reasons we're at that place is because as we've taken the monthly donations over the course of time, we've not taken automatically people's monthly contributions. And just as Michael said earlier, people, because we're busy and because we just forget, have not kept up with their monthly pledges. But now we have the technology that will do that. And all you got to do is go to gospelrevolution.com. And when you click on donations, you'll go to the spot where it gives you the monthly option. And for you folks that have made a monthly pledge in the past, and for whatever reason, you know that you have not given every month, this allows you to do that without any effort at all. You got to do it one time. And then your monthly contribution will be counted in the total, and we can move forward, and we will move forward. For gifts of $100 or more in total, whether it be a one-time gift, if you give $10 a month, you're going to qualify for this too. For $100 or more, you're going to receive Mike's new teaching CD called Avoid Strange Gospels, and that will be free and postage paid. You'll get that very quickly. We've got a very excellent young man right down there in Houston, right, Mikey?
Yes,
that is sending those out promptly. And we know we've got a lot of challenges, but we want you to know that we are committed to this effort. We're not going away, unlike the desires of Norval Hayes, who said that I will destroy you. We have not been destroyed, far from it. You know that we've been just plugging along, and that's what we're going to do, and we're going to continue to do it with your help. 1-800-436-3260 is the toll-free number, and we want to hear from you tonight. Sean O'Halloran is waiting to take your call in the Tampa Bay studios of Glenn Klein Online. I'm in the Northern Outpost in northern Wisconsin. We'll be for all summer. And then just email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com and let us know what you've done. Mike, I think it would be good for you to articulate, and we've got lots of emails, and as always, folks, you can call with your questions, you can send your emails to us, we've got lots of emails, and we're going to get to some of those tonight, but how about a beautiful, clear articulation of the gospel? If somebody would say to you, Michael, you talk about the gospel all the time, but what do you mean when you say the gospel? What would you say to them?
Well, there's only two things called the gospel in the New Testament, and where the term gospel shows up, and the two things that are called the gospel are the gospel of peace and the gospel of grace. And encompassed in the gospel of peace, it is the cessation of all hostility from God toward man, as the angels declared, peace on earth and goodwill on earth, but toward man, and this is a good. I've totally misquoted that altogether. peace on earth and goodwill toward man. And it definitely is toward man. It's not between men, because the Bible, very same Bible, talks about that there'll always be wars and rumors of wars. But the declaration of peace was goodwill toward men, and that coming from God. And then, of course, the gospel of the grace of God, which the grace of God is that which gives us, which we have not earned. And when the issue of God's wrath being gone off of the planet completely, all judgment has been rendered complete and fulfilled according to Jesus and according to the Scriptures. Having that all completely fulfilled, that has left us with the gospel of the grace of God, that what we have received from God is not earned by any means of keeping of laws or any performance on man's part. And encompassed in the gospel of grace and the gospel of peace is the understanding of the redemption of the world. Because when God declared peace, he declared peace with the entire human race. It was the entire planet that he declared peace with. And it was the entire planet that received this incredible inheritance that we have. So when you're talking about the gospel, you know, and for me, that is where that all of this began, actually, was with the gospel of peace back in 1983, when I started understanding the gospel of peace and sharing that the war was over. There is no more conflict between God and man. And the only conflict that exists is in man's imagination and in it created by his doctrines. But the writer of Hebrews says that the blood of Christ is able to purge our conscience from these dead works and this sense of that there's a performance mentality between us and God, and that just simply is gone. It is eliminated, and the reason that we share this gospel is so that the blood of Christ can purge people's conscience, because it is the hearing of this incredible gospel. It has already, the gospel itself has already purged us of all sin, of all alienation and separation between God and us individually and the entire planet. And the reason that we share this is for the purging of the conscience, so that the conscience itself can be cleansed and washed clean, not of dirty thoughts, but of dirty religion and dirty Christianity. And as following up again on Carlton's statement, the cult of Christianity, that there was a cult following and a cult mentality that came after Jesus instead of a revelation of the gospel. But that revelation has been picked up on, and we've been sharing it, and I've been very grateful to be able to share it. As we were going down in that collision, goodness, I once had a retirement fund and all of this stuff, but as it was going down and the ministry needed funding, there was times I took $10,000 at a time out of even retirement accounts and put it in the ministry to try to pay the bills and everything. So, and I say that only to say that my heart's in this. There isn't anything that we're asking the folks to do in this that I know that all of us haven't already done. And maybe very foolishly on my part to take, please understand, we're not asking anyone to take the retirement fund as I did and start selling it off and giving, $10,000 chunks. We would welcome $10,000 chunks, but do not close out your retirement fund to do it. But that's just the passion that's here. That's how important that the gospel of peace and the gospel of grace is. I see it. I know how important it is. And it's something I'll do for the rest of my life.
Would you be able to express to folks the level of retirement fund that you have left now?
No, I can't, because there's nothing to express. There is none. There's nothing left. It's gone.
So everything that you had, everything that you embraced financially and that you had accrued financially, is gone, and it has been put into this effort.
Well, everything that was left, yes, as it was going down, that's exactly what we did, for sure. And and of course, at the same time, there was losses going on because of the downturn in the market. But what we had left, it was going into the ministry to pay the bills. And that was just the way that it went. It didn't go some other way. That's what happened.
Now, the only reason that we bring this up, folks, is not to try to elicit sympathy, because, frankly, that's not what it's about. We're not interested in trying to raise the level of concern or sympathy for Michael or for this effort. What we are trying to do is to raise your awareness, to realize that the people that you hear and that are the face of this effort are very serious about that. And I can speak for myself and for the other people that have been behind the scenes that we really believe in this. And the reason that we pause each quarter to ask you to help out in these pledge drives is because we need the help. If we didn't need the help, we wouldn't ask. But we do need your help tonight. And if you're listening live or on the archive, just know that whatever you can do is greatly appreciated. And for gifts of $100 or more, tax deductible in the United States, we're going to send you a thank you gift, a tangible thank you gift, Michael's new teaching CD called Avoid Strange Gospels. And that was recorded at Carlton Pearson Church in Tulsa. You're going to want to hear that. And plus, obviously, the money that's left over from having recorded that and duplicated it and sending it to you will be put to just sharing with more people the reality of the gospel of grace and peace, as Mike articulated it earlier. We need your help. Just go to gospelrevolution.com. Click on donations. Make your best option there. There's monthly options. There is a one-time option. But for gifts of $100 or more, you will see free and postage paid the new teaching CD by Michael called Avoid Strange Gospels. And please email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com, webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Let us know what you did so we can include it into our $15,000 goal for the next quarter. And as we started the night, we are at $2,375. We have not received anything yet tonight. And we know that a lot of you are listening on the archives, so know that your totals and your contributions are very much part of this effort. But if you're listening live, we'd love to hear from you. You've got a third line available here at Glenn Klein Online. And you can just call 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. Sean O'Halloran waiting to hear from you tonight. Taking your calls, we'll get you on the line. We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-436-3260. And Sean, just feel free to interrupt at any time. If I'm not receiving your email up here in the Northern Outpost, I am in the northernmost part of Wisconsin, ladies and gentlemen, and got here late last night, and we'll be here for the summer doing what we do, which is sharing the good news with you. And we're going to be talking a little bit later about the Gospel Revolution Convention coming up in Houston in November. But, Mike, one thing that sparked my interest is you're talking earlier about our consciousness being cleansed from dead works. And this is something that I think so many people don't realize, is that there's a huge difference between having been redeemed from our sin through the blood of Christ and having our consciousness cleansed. That's the difference between redemption and salvation. We used to think in the Word of Faith movement or in Christianity that redemption and salvation came at the same time where one accepted Christ, whether they had a understanding or revelation or not. You pray that, as Joel Osteen says, that simple prayer. You're redeemed, you're saved, everything's good to go, you're going to heaven. But what we're saying is everybody is redeemed. In other words, everybody is going to heaven, but not everybody knows it. And the ones that need to know it the most, in our humble opinion, Michael, are the ones that are in Christianity, that are in the church, that are being challenged every week, that their actions, their inactions, their thoughts, their behavior, their habitual patterns are affecting their standing with God. And we're saying it doesn't affect your standing at all. And that's where the cleansing of our conscience comes in, and that's where the salvation of the mind comes in. Isn't that right?
Yeah, and it's not just the negative thoughts to bring guilt, but it's also the thoughts that you are performing well enough to receive God's blessing, or that you have qualified on any degree. The conscience needs to be purged and cleansed, not only from the thoughts. It's all dead works, according to Hebrews. And dead works is encompassed not only the works, the mentality that there is something you've done wrong, therefore you have lost out with God, but it also purges the conscience from probably an even more deadly force, and that is the false belief system that there's something that you have done to have received from God. And one of the number one things that the Christian community stands ready for a massive flood of cleansing from is the thoughts that their belief in Christ has made him Lord, and that their belief has what has facilitated the redemption that is in Christ. That is completely not a part of the gospel. So the one thing that I would love to see, and I know that it is the number one thing that Christianity is standing there waiting to be cleansed from. We have an entire world of a religious system, whether it's from Catholicism to all branches of Protestantism, and every other ism around the world, is that they not only include the keeping of rules and regulations, but also, and this I think is the big one, it's the one that has got the world in bondage, and that is the absolute why that your belief makes Jesus your Lord and makes him your personal Lord and Savior. Such a comment is not anywhere in any text in the Bible, old or new, and the only text about Jesus being Lord is that God has made Jesus Lord over all. There is no such thing as an individual making Jesus their personal Lord and Savior. Jesus is not a personal Lord and Savior. He is a world redeemer, and he has done a very sufficient job at that. And the conscience of the Christian community, which is the one that I'm most interested and concerned about, because I know the ramifications of that belief system, and I know how damaging it is. But that's what I'm really pursuing, is the cleansing of the conscience. If people want to know, what is it you're doing out there, Mike? What is it? Why is it worthy of being supported? That's what we're doing, Glenn, is that we're sharing a gospel. What we do does not redeem anybody. What we do does not give them union with God. What we say does not cause them to suddenly have a belief or pray a prayer and suddenly they're in union with God. That was done by Jesus. What we are doing is sharing a gospel that will purge the conscience and leave people free from their own beliefs. That is what people have got to be redeemed from, or saved, if you will, from, is to be saved from their own persuasion that their beliefs have something to do with this powerful gospel.
Well, it's not just their own belief, really. It's the belief that they've learned from the religious powers that be.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, regardless of where it comes from, it's that's the thing that you know, it is so, I know, and it sounds bizarre. It's like, you know, aren't you out trying to help people to get cleansed from their dirty thoughts and their bad ways and all of these things? And it's like, well, number one, that's not the problem. And number two, many of those things are simply symptoms of the problem, which is self-righteousness and the obsessive compulsive behaviors that people find themselves in so much of the time, if not all the time. It finds its roots in self-righteousness. And self-righteousness is bred from the moment someone says, I just made Jesus my personal Lord and Savior.
Right, and they would not have learned that from somebody unless somebody in the religious hierarchy had told them that was what they had to do.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And so, you know, this is where if you will, the battleground is. It really is for that in that key element. And to get to that element, we teach on every aspect and every angle of this that we can possibly approach it from, and to try to get to that. You know, if we can break down and just show people small elements of the gospel, of things that have tremendous impact, and the scope of their impact is profound, even though what we share sometimes is just a minute compared to the big picture. It's minute, but compared in respect to how it impacts their belief system, it is monumental.
Right.
Because, I mean, it's just like what we're talking about right now. What if we were able to address the entire Christian community about the fallacy of an individual making Jesus their personal Lord and Savior? That the entire premise of the doctrine is not even in one single line in any biblical text. It does not exist. And it is the doctrine on which the entire evangelical theme is built. And Glenn, it's not just out of context, and I know I harp about context all the time. We're not talking about out of context. I'm telling you, making Jesus a human being, number one, making Jesus Lord at all is not in context. It is not in a text. If there's not a line about it anywhere in any Bible text that a human being can make Jesus Lord, much less make him their personal Lord and Savior. And as I always say to people when I share that, I said, I hope you take it personally. But this is not something, you see, they try to make it personal by the fact that you included your belief and made it real, and that it wasn't true until you added your belief. And I don't care what area of truth you deal with, belief doesn't make truth true, including gravity. There's not any one of the laws of physics or the laws of anything which the Christian community have very openly admitted that spiritual laws are just like natural laws. They are there. They say that. But which one of the natural laws do you have to believe in for them to affect you? They affect you whether you believe in them or not. And that, by virtue of their own comparison, it disqualifies that whole really idiotic notion that a person's belief makes truth true. Truth is true. whether someone believes it or not.
Right.
And so that really is the premise of what we're doing, and of the reason that we see the urgency for doing it. Because, Glenn, I believe that that is killing people. I believe that it is destroying people mentally and emotionally, number one. I think it's destroying families. It's destroying people's lives. And it comes across as, and this is the sad thing, is that it is presented as the answer for all their problems, and then after a while it becomes the source of all their problems. And then there's more answers and more answers for why, you know, that your problems keep compounding. And it's not even to say that what we're trying to do is going to end all your problems, but at least it puts your problems in focus of something that can be dealt with, that it's not something created because you have failed God in some way. Failed him with your faith, or failed him with your belief, or with your obedience. I mean,
do you think, Michael, that thinking in these terms is literally killing people? Literally?
Oh, absolutely. It's been killing people for years. I mean, Christianity has been a slaughterhouse. We have absolute record of thousands and tens of thousands and even hundreds of thousands of people dying at the point of the sword for either make Jesus your personal Lord and Savior right now or die. And turn your back on your religion and accept Jesus as personal Lord and Savior. I mean, people talk about, you know, having to face the Antichrist, and that if you denied Christ, then that you'd get, you could be saved by denying Christ, and and if you deny Christ, then you're going to die. But that, you know, history shows that it's been just the opposite. People have died because they wouldn't confess Christ, not because they did. And that's what Christianity has done. I don't know how many people have died because they did, but they certainly have died by the multiple and tens of thousands around the world throughout the history of Christianity because they did not convert and believe in Jesus, not because they did believe in Jesus.
Well, they certainly were killed because of it, but I'm wondering, and there would be no way to be able to prove this, but I really believe that people right now are dying and have died even recently who have accepted Christ, but for whatever reason felt like they never lived up to the standard that was being shared with them by the pastors in the church, by the ministers on television, whatever it is. If you don't attain to that standard, this stress that is added to your life continually, and we know stress is the number one killer, literally, certainly kills people emotionally and mentally, but the amount of physical death, the disease that has been caused by people thinking that they weren't right with God for some reason, has got to be astronomical.
Oh, I think so. Yeah, I really do. I think there's a tremendous source of even psychosomatic illness that is brought on, which is just as real as real illness. It is just as paralyzing as the real thing. And I know firsthand of many people, a lot of young people that I was involved with personally in sharing quote, my testimony with them, who, because they did not get freed from their sexuality and were more honest than myself, and felt that, therefore, that was a signal that God had rejected them, and they went ahead and committed suicide because they could not handle the failure, that sense of failure of failing God. I attempted suicide myself when I was a kid because I didn't want to hurt Jesus no more. I was told that what I was nailing Jesus to the cross again. So I, you know, well, I love Jesus, so I'm not going to do that. So that led to 3 attempts at suicide on my part. So the amount of misery that this has caused, I mean, this is no exaggeration, folks. I mean, my gosh, you know, and that's the reason that
you know, Micah, far from exaggeration, we may be underplaying this.
Oh, absolutely.
And the lack of anger in our part, and the lack of just strident language, we tamp it down. Because the fact is, and this has got nothing to do with the people, we're talking about a message. We're talking, and that's what we want to share. We want to have the ability to share the message more. But the message, the anti-message of what we're sharing, that's what angers us. It's got nothing to do with what vessel that it comes through. I mean, we are so beyond being ticked off at people because they're consuming this. How could we? We could not, in all good conscience, Michael, be consistent and not be a hypocrite by being really ticked off at these folks who are sharing the same garbage that we used to share not 10 or 15 years ago.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And I think that, underestimating its impact is certainly what we're doing, and downplaying it. I mean, sometimes you just think that, you know, it's possible that, you know, if you share it, I mean, at what point can the people handle the reality of the damage that this is causing? But, you know, maybe we need to really take off those restraints and, you know, just as Carlton did the other night, and just called it what it is, the cult of Christianity, because it has become a cult. It's a cult following. And Jesus doesn't need cult followers. He just doesn't. And not only does he not need them, the world is impacted in such a negative way by all of this, Glenn, and all that. And the thing that we are doing here is presenting a gospel that not only maintains the integrity of Jesus and his sacrifice, and the scriptures, the absolute belief. I totally believe all the scriptures are inspired by God. I totally believe that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And I totally believe that the scriptures foretold of the coming of the Redeemer of this world, and that he would be born of a virgin, and that he would come the way that he did, and all the way through the cross and the taking of all sin of the world. And we have so, number one, underestimated we've totally stripped the power of the cross of what its true intention was. There was never an intent for the work of the cross to be something that people joined their belief to. It was never intended that way. In fact, Jesus took 12 disciples to prove to them that their belief wouldn't work anyway, that they couldn't even believe if he performed miracles right in front of their eyes. And then they all turned and went their own way, as the New Testament records so clearly. And even with them turning and going their own way, Jesus didn't turn his back on them. I mean, if there's anybody he should have turned his back on, it should have been the 12 disciples, because they had no excuse for their unbelief, and they were completely in unbelief, and they denied him. The Apostle Peter, the one that the Catholic Church says is the first pope, denied Jesus 3 times, and yet he winds up to be the first pope of the Catholic Church.
Sounds like a good candidate for to be the head of a religion right there.
Absolutely, and thank God. I mean that he failed so profusely and so profoundly, but the reason that his and the other disciples' statues are up around the basilica there in Rome. The reason those statues are up there is not because of their failure, which led to the redemption of the whole world, but it's for a whole different purpose. They have made deities out of these guys. And the thing that Jesus was proving is you're human. Jesus was saying, I'm deity, you're human. You can't do it. I'll perform miracles and even let you do them. You still won't be a believer. And they weren't. They all denied him, every one of them. And that's what the profound revelation of the gospel is, not the issue of that, yes, Jesus required them to believe, and so now he requires us to believe. But before we take that leap, that the requirement to believe is on us also, we've got to realize they failed at this. And if they failed at it, how in the world are we, do we actually think that of the arrogance that we have the ability to believe for what they couldn't even believe for themselves? And in the presence of seeing Jesus heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out devils. And
exactly.
And they couldn't believe. And yet we put this requirement on the entire planet.
And we put it on ourselves. And we're literally
Absolutely.
Setting ourselves up for a fall. And what we're encouraging folks, and the reason that we do this every week, and the reason that Michael goes around the world teaching this, the reason that we're having a convention, an international convention in Houston in November, is because we want to take the pressure off you. Not because we think it's a good idea, although we do think it's a good idea, it's because it's the truth. It's what the Bible says. It's what makes sense. It's consistent. It's intellectually honest. Everything else that you've heard from Christianity, from the cult of Christianity, is a cult. It's a lie. It is deception. It is a strange gospel, as Michael referenced in the CD we're giving away tonight. This is Glenn Klein Online. We've got a little over 15 minutes. We're going to go over 10:30 Eastern time because we got a late start due to some technical problems. So if you're listening live, please get involved with the pledge drive. It's the Spring Pledge Drive 2008 for the Gospel Revolution. We're asking you to donate tonight. Any gift, large or small, is appreciated. Just go to gospelrevolution.com, click on donations, and make your best donation there. All the options are right there. You just click on gospelrevolution.com, you go to donations, and there they are. You can make a small gift, you can make a monthly gift, you can make a one-time gift. And then once you've done whatever you're going to do, just email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. And let us know what you've done so we can include it in the goal. We've got a goal of $15,000. We've got a little over $10,000 to raise in this last week. Right now, obviously, we're talking to you on Wednesday night during our live time. We know most of you folks listen on archive. We've got an entire week to make this up. One person could do this with one click of a button. We know that there are people that are listening to the sounds of our voice right now that could do this in one time. We could be done. But whatever you can do, $5 to $50,000, it doesn't make a difference. Everybody needs to participate. You've been touched by the gospel. It's in your heart to do. Please do it tonight. We're asking you. We don't know. We're not begging you. We're not going anywhere. But we are entreating you to participate if this message has touched your heart. If you're listening live, and it's about 10:15 Eastern time, give us a call at 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. Sean O'Halloran, the engineer, producer, and call screener. And tonight, donation taker extraordinaire is waiting to hear from you. And we want to hear from you. 1-800-436-3260. If you give $100 or more in a one-time donation or over the total of a year, you will receive free and postage paid the new teaching CD by Michael that we've talked about for the last 3 weeks and that is featured online, the Avoid Strange Gospels teaching CD that was done in Tulsa, Oklahoma at Carlton Pearson Church. By the way, beautiful humans, if you have not heard last week's webcast on May 28th, go and listen to that. Carlton was our guest. We had him on for about 45 minutes. It was tremendous. Carlton is going to be our special guest at the Gospel Revolution Convention in Houston in November, and all the information is on the homepage of the gospelrevolution.com webpage. So just check it out. Make your reservations at the hotel. We know you want to be there. Make your registration with us, but the reservation has to go through the Marriott. All the information is on the webpage. We're focusing tonight and over these last 3 weeks on the pledge drive. We need your help. Obviously, all the stuff that we're talking about costs money, and we don't have enough. We just frankly cannot pay everything that it takes to get this message out. But as everybody comes together, we will get the job done. We have no doubt about it. And as we continue on next week, we'll go back to our regular format where we do not, as you know, focus or ask for money. But tonight we do. And it's as simple as that. We're asking you to participate wherever you're listening around the planet. We've got so many costs, as you can imagine, between the webcast equipment and the time and the telephone, the reproduction, just living. We have living expenses. The purchasing of the CDs and the DVDs and the materials to send them out to you, the postage, all that stuff costs money. And we know economic times are tough right now, but this is the time to say to your money, I have you, you don't have me. And here's what I can do with my money. I can send $10 to Mike Williams Ministries. I can send $25. I can participate at $10 a month without missing a beat. And so we want to do that. And we want to encourage you to participate and call tonight at 1-800-436-3260. Let us know what you'll do. And we do have a caller now, Michael, online. We have Melanie from Indiana. Melanie, how are you tonight? Okay, for some reason you're not coming through on the broadcast. So, but both Mike and I can hear you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're obviously experiencing some difficulty, but we want to be earnest with Melanie's questions. She's calling us from Noblesville, Indiana, and she asked Michael if he believes that everyone is going to go to heaven, if everyone is ultimately going to be saved. Michael answered, yes, indeed we do. And then Michael asked Melanie, was there a specific verse in the Bible that she wanted to be addressed? I like how you said that, Melanie, that you heard a rumor. It's far from a rumor. It's the absolute 100% truth that we do believe that everybody has been made righteous through the blood of Christ and will be saved. But then Michael asked you, Melanie, was there any specific verse from the Bible that you had questioned to address this particular issue? Was there a verse? Okay. So in case, and again, we're obviously having some phone difficulties, folks, but Melanie just said, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father, Michael, but through me. Is it, would that be an accurate translation, Melanie? Okay, all right, so Michael, Jesus said, nobody comes to the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. How can you say that everybody gets there if Jesus is the only way to get to the Father?
Well, that's the wonderful thing, Melanie. Of course, Jesus said that before the cross. One of the most important things that I ever learned, and one of our guests was on a couple of weeks ago and made it very clear that the dividing line is the cross. And anything before the cross is still Old Testament. Of course, the Old Testament was still in effect. Nothing changed until after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And that's exactly what Jesus was proving, that even with him being the way, the truth, and the life, but that no man could come to the Father except through him. Except when Jesus died, it was totally reversed. And man did not have to come to God through Jesus. God came to man through Jesus. Because that's what the prophet said. He said, the prophets foretold not of a time when people would come to God through Jesus, but actually the prophecies foretold that God would make a people, his people, who did not know anything, did not believe anything, did not understand anything, and that he would make these people his. And that, of course, as the scriptures foretold, was the entire human race. And that's such an excellent question, because when we are still trying to get to God, you see, that's our struggle. And Melanie, that is the wonderful thing about the gospel, and that Jesus also put out the requirement to believe. But remember, he put down that requirement before he went to the cross. And he gave that requirement to all 12 of his disciples, which they all failed at it. They all, remember he said, if you deny me, I'll deny you. And yet every one of his disciples denied him. But he did not deny them. So what we see is a drastic reversal of everything took place at the cross. That even though the disciples did deny him, Jesus didn't rise from the dead and say, okay, now, Peter, I'm denying you. In fact, he never even brought it up that that Peter had denied him or that Thomas refused to believe. Thomas said, I not only don't believe, I refuse to believe. And we send all of those people to hell who did exactly what even the disciples did.
Yeah, that's a good question, Michael. Why did the disciples, after the resurrection and the ascension by Christ, go around and do what they were doing if we're not supposed to be doing it?
Well, the thing of it is that we are doing that. We're going around doing that. But what we're doing is the same thing that the disciples were doing, and that is letting people know that Jesus has risen from the dead. And that he has brought this incredible redemption to the world. The oldest doctrine in the world is not what I learned in church, which was that I had to believe and confess and obey, but the oldest doctrine in the world is the redemption of the world that was wrought through the blood of Jesus. And you know, Melanie, when you stop and think about it, you know, if we in the Christian community, and those who've been in the Christian community, no matter what the denomination is, which preach and teach that you have to believe or people are going to hell, we have probably the most insensitive people on the face of the earth in the church, because how many people go out and share that? So there's one of two things wrong. Either people who believe in Jesus are the most uncaring people on earth, or could it be this? Could it be that there's something in their heart that just doesn't buy all that anyway? Could it be that there's a truth that is so profound, just like in your heart, Melanie, maybe the reason that you have not been motivated to sell everything that you have and go witness to everybody, because if you know, why have a job? Why buy a car? Why buy a house when you could use all of those funds to snatch people from an eternal hell?
Yeah, how about being motivated not to cut off your right hand or to pluck out your right eye? There's a lot of people. Most people have been motivated not to do that.
Yeah.
And yet that was an instruction of Christ, Michael.
Yeah, it definitely was. But I think, Melanie, I think the reason that you're not motivated to do that, hon, is because there is a deeper truth in your heart. There is something in you that tells you that is so profound that people have already been redeemed, that the work of Christ is real. Because, see, I believe Jesus lives in you, and I believe that he has redeemed you. And I believe that if something is truth, that it lives in your heart. And I just cannot imagine. See, I hear a very caring person when I'm listening to you on the phone. And I just cannot imagine that you would be a person who would think that in your heart of hearts that your next door neighbor is going to hell if they do not become a believer, and you haven't knocked on every door in your neighborhood.
Right. Well, and again, Melanie, I'm sorry to say that I think we're, for whatever reason, Michael and I can hear you, but unfortunately, I don't think our audience can. What Melanie just said is that there's something, Michael, in the human heart that just can't accept that God and Jesus himself did it all, that we have to do something. We have to believe. We have to work somehow to attain to the level of righteousness that
yes.
We think we're worthy of, or at least that we should be worthy of vis-a-vis the story of Christ himself.
Yes, and she was making reference to especially people who have been victimized in their childhood and in their lives with really dire situations. And Melanie, you know, number one, I am very grateful that you're on the phone because, like I say, you've brought up, you know, something very, very important. But more importantly is you right now. And that is that you have expressed that incredible age-long struggle, which is the one that I'm doing everything, we're doing everything that we can do to address. And that is that your own heart would condemn you so, and that your own heart would feel so insufficient. But it's an incredible thing, Melanie, to come to that point where that you realize, yes, I am insufficient. Yes, I am incomplete in my ability to please God, to believe good enough, to obey good enough. I know I can't do it. And then finally, Melanie, letting that go, knowing that God's faith in you is the power of your redemption. It's not your faith in God. Because Paul, you know, why should you, Melanie, have to live by anything less than what Paul did? You know, Paul said that he lived by the faith of the Son of God. Paul didn't even say that he lived by his own faith. He said, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So what I'm sharing with you and proposing to you right now, Melanie, is the ability to take a real big deep breath and let go of that, as what you have described as that thing of being victimized, and no, and that struggle to believe that somebody really cares and really loves you, and really that it's, even if you didn't believe, that Jesus himself would still take you in his arms, that even if you denied him, as the disciples did, he would still qualify you. Because if the disciples were still qualified to preach the gospel even after they denied him, and that was the disciples. That was the guys who got to see all the miracles you've not seen. The Peter, the one who denied him three times, got to walk on water with him and yet denied him. Now, Melanie's never had the chance to walk on water.
Well, she might have had the chance. I doubt she's had the success that Peter had.
Yeah,
right, Melanie? Right, but you could have walked on water at some point if you wanted to. I'm sure you've been on a lake at some point. Melanie, I'm sorry about the technical difficulties, honey, but please do me a favor and consider calling back in the next week or so. We'll try to have that third line all figured out, and hopefully everybody will have a chance to hear your voice in the next couple of weeks. But continue to listen, and if you'd like to make a pledge, or order any tapes, the gospelrevolution.com website is the address, and feel free to avail yourself of all the information that's there, and please stay in touch with us, okay?
And Melanie, I've got to tell you before you go, hon, you are worthy, you are righteous, you are holy, you are perfect in the eyes of God, and in the eyes of God, because of the blood of Jesus, you are seen without fault and without blame. And you have been accepted.
Well, thank you so much.
That's good news, huh, Mel?
Yes, it is.
That's what it's called, the gospel. That's what it means, good news.
Yes, it is.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Okay. Call back again, hon.
Hope to hear from you again.
Okay, bye-bye.
There's Melanie, ladies and gentlemen. Don't know if you could hear her. We've obviously had some technical difficulties on this particular evening. Perhaps that's hindered some of you folks from participating on the live edition of Glenn Klein Online, but we've got an entire week of this Spring Pledge Drive 2008 to go as we begin to wrap it up. And for those of you that are listening on the archive, please get on board and help us make up the ground. We started the evening at $23.75. Frankly, have not received by a phone call or email a pledge yet tonight, but we've seen this before, and we know that an entire week can happen quickly with a lot of success. And so we're asking you to go to the gospelrevolution.com webpage and email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com and let us know what you have done to help us reach At least that's our goal of $15,000. We have expenses, as you can imagine, and I think, Michael, you know, in appealing to people to participate, I think Melanie's call was a great example of what we do. Here's somebody that had a very honest question, legitimate concerns,
yeah,
and we address them as best we can. And we do that all day long, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the website. And it costs money. I mean, what else can we say? I mean, it costs some dolares.
And you know how wonderful it is that I loved Melanie's call. I loved Melanie. It was like you just fall in love with her immediately. I'm so sorry that people were not able to hear her voice. The fact that she had said, you know, she had heard some rumors, you know, that I teach that people, everybody's going to heaven, whether they believe or not. And, what a wonderful rumor to have spread about you.
I love that.
Isn't it wonderful? My goodness.
Yeah, I heard some rumors.
Yes, it was.
I heard the rumor that you guys actually believe that everybody is righteous in Christ.
Yes.
That everybody is redeemed, that everybody has been cleansed from their sin.
And Melanie had some questions, very direct questions as to, you know, how that could be. And you're right, Glenn, that's exactly what we do. We address those. And, man, I tell you what, I don't know if anybody else, but see, that's my experience. Just like talking with Melanie, I literally could feel that burden lifting off her heart, of that her conscience began to be cleansed. Not just Melanie had already been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, but just those few words we got to speak with Melanie on the phone and on the broadcast here. Began to cleanse her conscience from those dead works, as she said, you know, that many people who have been victimized, and she was a rape victim, and that many of them just can't accept that people love them for what they are. And my gosh, Glenn, we were able to just share a simple gospel, and you could just feel that burden come off of her heart, that she is holy and righteous and perfect in God's eyes. What good news. We, you know, I don't even want to try to convince Melanie that it's the whole world. If I can just convince Melanie, it's her right now. The rest of that, once you know that you're accepted, it's easy to know that everybody's accepted. Because like Melanie said, if you can believe you're accepted, I mean, this is she couldn't believe she's accepted. But once you know you're accepted, you know everybody's got to be accepted. That's the awesome thing about the power of this gospel. And Glenn, I do want to step up and ask people, it is time that we've got people who, over a period of a year, we have one contributor that they give by way of sharing with us on a monthly basis, they give $12,000 a year. But, you know, and then we have others who give about $6,000 a year. And then everything else in between. But those are the largest gifts that we have. Those are the largest gifts that we have. And Glenn, I tell you what, you know, I flip on Pat Robertson and all of these guys, and they do these fundraisers, and they have people calling in to contribute $100,000. And I think it's time that we ask people to start stepping up to the plate, because I know that we have many people who can contribute one-time gifts of $5,000 and $10,000, that they can do that. It's just an issue. This is the issue, Glenn. It's the issue of priority. I know what you can do if it's a priority.
Well, the thing about it is that some of the folks, we love everybody, and hey, please hear our hearts, folks. That there's some folks that listen to us, Michael, that could give $5,000 or $10,000 or $5 or $10, and they would never think about it again. They would never miss it.
Absolutely.
But it would make a huge difference to this effort.
Oh, my. Yes. Yeah, and like we say, I mean, what we want to do is I want to reach out to the Melodies of this world. I that's where my heart is. That's what my whole focus is, to think that we would have the words to stop that horrible, nagging doubt And again, Melanie, honey, if you're still listening, I don't even want to try to convince you that the whole world has been redeemed. I just want to convince you. And I want to convince you that your righteousness is absolutely perfect and your place with God is secure and you're loved. And I just hope that at this very moment that you're just being washed over with that reality. That when God sees you, you're absolutely perfect in His sight because of the blood of Jesus. And as we were sharing with her, Glenn, what a wonderful thing that we get to share. You know, this like the question she had about Jesus saying, you know, that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me. Except that's not the way the prophets foretold it was going to happen. Jesus.
Well, but you know, even in that, Michael, there's nothing that Jesus said in that quote that says you have to believe it.
No, absolutely.
He's just saying nobody comes to the Father except through me, through
absolutely.
My sacrifice, through my redemption, through my act of grace at the cross, through my prayer. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing.
But the whole act, and I don't disagree with that. But the fact of it is that all of redemption has nothing to do with man coming to God.
Right.
It has to do with God coming to man. And that is the powerful revelation, is that we are not those who have come to God. We are those who God has come to. And that is the power of the revelation. That's why this is His view and opinion of us. Because He didn't stand back and watch us come to God. He came to us. What right do we have to determine what His opinion is when He is the one who has manifested Himself to us? We didn't make ourselves manifest to Him. He made Himself manifest to us.
You know, it's so dramatically messed up. I don't know how else to say it. I mean, folks, there is nothing that you could think. There's no prayer you could pray. There's no action that you could take or action that you could withhold yourself from that would change God's opinion of you. You are perfect. I don't know how much, if any, of Melanie's heart was hurt tonight. I just did get an email from Sean in the studio saying that we do have the third line working now here as we wrap up the webcast. So hopefully next week we'll be able to hear everybody. I wish you could have heard Melanie's heart.
Yeah.
But here are our hearts tonight. There is nothing that you could do or that you could not do that would, no prayer that you could utter, no thought that you could stand against or receive, no praise that you could offer up to heaven, that would change God's opinion of you. Because God's opinion of you is not based on any deed or action or thought or lack thereof that you could even begin to imagine. It is all based on the actions and the deeds and the prayers and the thoughts of this man that was born, the Bible says, from a virgin, that we call Jesus, whose name was actually Yeshua, Joshua in Hebrew, which actually, ladies and gentlemen, means salvation, by the way. That's what Yeshua means. How ironic is that the name that the angel told Miriam, the Jewish girl, Mary, the virgin, to name her son, Salvation, which was a common name in Judaism at the time, but this was specifically the name that she was to give her son, Salvation, because He will save His people. And His people, ladies and gentlemen, aren't the people that have some sort of understanding on this side of eternity that He actually lived and died and redeemed them from their sin. It was for all people, no matter where they're at, no matter what church they have gone to or not gone to, no matter what they believed in or didn't believe in, no matter what their background is, no matter what their sex is, no matter what their race is, no matter what their sexual orientation is, no matter what part of history that they lived in, we're talking about all people. This is the people of the Lord. The Lord is the Lord of all. Bible says. All we're doing, Michael, is repeating Bible verses and putting them in context and trying to weed out and put through a strainer, if you will, of common sense and reality that of what is true. We're trying to strain out the religion. There is a religious doctrine that has permeated the earth for many thousands of years that says you must make Lord, or you must make Jesus the Lord of your life. But the Bible never says it. It doesn't make any sense. Either somebody is Lord and King, or he's not. Nobody made Queen Elizabeth the Lord of England. She just was. It was in her lineage. We say that Jesus, Yeshua, Joshua, if you will, was the Lord because of his lineage, because, Michael, he was born of the Spirit, the Bible said. We just keep coming back to the Bible. And we come back to what we understand that makes logical and common sense. And hopefully it relieves people of their guilt, Michael, their condemnation, and allows them to be freed up to receive the love and the grace of God that is available for every human being.
Absolutely. That is what we're doing, and that is why we do it. It is, you know, it's like, okay, what part of Lord of All do you not understand?
Well, when we say Lord of All, folks, we literally mean Lord of All. Wherever you're listening tonight around the planet, if you take the bus or the train to work, or if you're on a bicycle, or if you're in rush hour traffic in the morning or in the evening, all the people that you see, every face, no matter what color skin they have, no matter what sex they are, when we say all those people are redeemed. You don't have to worry about their ultimate destiny. What we are trying to do is to get as many of those folks that you see to understand they're good to go, that God loves them no matter what, that they are accepted and beloved by the creator of the universe. We are existing on a planet that is rotating very gingerly and very specifically and accurately on an axis that, Michael, if it just was a small degree off, it would spin off into the universe. But the same God that set the universe into motion, we're saying, is the same God that sent the Redeemer to the earth. And we would like more people to know about it. That's why we do what we do. That's why we're having the convention in Houston in November. This is why we do the webcast. This is why Michael travels all over the world. And this is why we're asking for your donations on this Spring Pledge Drive to help us spread this in a more effective and efficient way. And for the last time here during this Spring Pledge Drive, we're asking you to go to the website at gospelrevolution.com, click on that, then go to donations, and then just make your best effort. We have not taken any pledges live tonight. We've had some technical difficulties, as those of you that have listened live or are listening on the archive have discerned, and that happens. But one thing's for sure, if you want to get behind this effort, we will be able to receive your donation at gospelrevolution.com. And as Michael said just a few moments ago, to get us to our goal of $15,000, it could take one person, just one person, who makes it a priority to make the effort. There's people that are listening, Michael, right now that have no problem with the money. It's just a question of just going through the process of making that donation. And I don't know how to say it any more clearer or more accurately than that, Michael.
Yeah. And this is the thing, you know, I don't want to dissuade anyone from giving, but we're going to keep doing this, whether you give or not.
Yeah.
That we've already proven. We have no quitting sense. So you understand that your giving isn't going to get me to do this or Glenn to do this. It isn't going to get anybody who's a part of this effort to do this. It's just how effective do you want us to be? That's the question. Because we're not quitting. There is nobody's gift or lack of it is going to persuade us to quit. We did this broadcast before anybody gave a penny to anything. And Glenn was absorbing costs and people doing everything free and people, though, have started picking up that slack and helping take that financial burden to where that we don't have to bear it all ourselves. But we've already proven we're here. We're staying. We're going to keep sharing this gospel regardless. But I want the people just to ask themselves, how effective do we want them to be in this effort? Because the money is the difference in how effective we become. Now the impact of just the people who've listened tonight, and I cannot tell you how privileged I feel to have been able to tell Melanie the truth of the gospel for her, that she is perfect and righteous and holy in the eyes of God. That's what it's all about for me.
No doubt. And whether this webcast continues for our remaining breaths on this planet or not, as long as you folks that are listening right now can completely relate to what I'm about to say, as long as we have breath, we're going to be sharing this thing.
Absolutely.
Because whether we're talking to the planet via the technology known as the internet or not, we share the gospel every single day. I mean, I cannot tell you how many times today I have the opportunity. I'm up here in the North Woods. I've got my kids with me, talking to them, talking to a friend of mine who lost a sister in the last week, and getting this chance to share with her the gospel, exactly what we've been sharing with you guys tonight. So we're getting after it. We're asking you to help us. We would ask you to consider in your heart if you could do anything and what you can do. And one more time, the webcast or the website address is gospelrevolution.com. You simply click on donations, make your best effort there. It'll give you options for monthly giving, one-time gifts. And for $100 or more in total giving, you'll receive free and postage paid, the free CD, Michael's teaching that was done at Carlton Pearson's Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Avoid Strange Gospels. And our boy Sean Halloran in Tampa tells us that we have Michael, our other line, up and working now, just in the nick of time to encourage people for next week. And but thank you so much, my brother. I love you, and I appreciate you.
Thanks, Glenn. Love you, too.
And we want to thank Sean one more time, the producer and engineer of this webcast. Thank you for participating by listening. Hope to hear from you this week by you listening on the archive and participating in the Pledge Drive. We'll give you an update next week. Email us your questions. For those of you that we did not get to your email questions in the last several weeks, please know that we will as we continue forth here on the Gospel Revolution. Until next time, from the Northern Outpost of the Gospel Revolution, this is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody!